Good morning and welcome to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, July 13th. How are we doing this morning? Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Ivy Cool Luxury Athleisure Apparel for Men and Women, featuring the exclusive Icefill cooling technology along with UPF 50 plus sun protection. Visit IBKOL.com to learn more. Well, it's been an eventful week. I spent 3 days in Toronto earlier this past week. Flew up there to go to the Coldplay concert at this new venue in Toronto for concerts. It's called Rogers Stadium. And Coldplay was as amazing as I thought they would be. I've always enjoyed their music. Chris Martin's incredible talent on the keyboard. He's just such great. He's just a great writer of music. And I love his message of, you know, peace and love and bringing people together. And I mean, you really have to give him a lot of credit. He really uses his incredible platform, reaching millions, and truly caring about the world and about the environment, and you know, his ability to connect with his audience. He's fun, he's humble, he's so friendly, and it's just an added bonus, you know, right on top of his extraordinary skill as a songwriter, a singer, and musician. So if you can ever get to a Coldplay concert, I would highly recommend. You have the light show on top of everything. It's so electrifying. The entire experience is surreal. So that was definitely a bucket list experience for me. And so while I'm in Toronto, I was happy to connect with my buddy Alex Lifeson, the Hall of Fame guitarist for Rush. Now, I met Alex years ago at Robbie Krieger's celebrity golf tournament in California. Of course, Robbie Krieger from The Doors. He's a huge golfer as well. And, you know, Alex just golfs a lot. And he's, you know, a Renaissance guy. He does a lot of different things. But he's one of the nicest rock stars on the planet. And about 3 years ago, at my charity golf tournament, this one was at Maidstone in East Hampton, my charity, you know, tournament benefits St. Jude and cancer research, we honored Alex. So he came down from Toronto and auctioned off a couple guitars for charity. Just really incredible guy. So, you know, we've been keeping in touch. And when I knew I was heading up to Toronto last week, I texted him to see if he was going to be around. And lucky for me, he was in town. And so we met for dinner. And then after dinner, you know, I asked him if he wouldn't mind if we recorded an interview for this show. And he said, let's do it. So, you know, I just find him to be a fascinating guy, a deep thinker, sensitive, funny, nice. It's just every superlative you can think of. And so I'm going to play that interview later in the show. But Alex Lifeson, even if you're not a Rush fan, I mean, he's such a huge golfer, artist, producer, philosopher. So I hope you enjoy hearing that interview coming up a little later in the show. And Brian Kroll, general manager of Ferry Point, he's going to come on as well. He's a huge Rush fan. So we'll talk a little music and talk a little golf. And there's so much golf going on. I mean, so much happening in golf. The Genesis Scottish Open is underway, final round. And guess who will start the final round tied for the lead at 11 under? None other than Rory McIlroy. That's right. His 4-under yesterday put him in a tie for the lead with American Chris Goddard, who led by 2 at the halfway point. Chris carding a course record 61 on Friday. And Rory started the third round trailing Goddard by 4. Rory shot a 66 yesterday, at a 65 on Friday, and a 68 in the opening round. Goddard shot a 68 in the opening round, and then that stellar 61. And so they're at the top of the leaderboard and tee off a little later this morning, our time. But it looks like Rory has, you know, shaken off his motivation struggles. He's gotten this renewed energy. And obviously, he has his eyes on the Open Championship, which takes place this coming week at Royal Portrush, not far from where Rory grew up in Northern Ireland. So him playing well, Rory, is just a great, great sign. So Some other news about the Genesis. They'll continue as the title sponsor of the Scottish Open through 2030, it was announced. And, you know, it's part of the FedEx Cup regular season. It's the 31st of 36 FedEx Cup regular season events. And the tournament is sanctioned by both the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour. And it's at the Renaissance Club. And they've been hosting the Scottish Open for the last, 6 years. And, you know, I think it's good for the players to get over there a week before the Open Championship. Obviously, they get used to Lynx golf. They get used to the time difference. And I think it's very helpful. And it's a key championship in its own right. So Rory won the Scottish Open title in 2023. And so he and Gutter Upper are at 11 under, two shots ahead of Wyndham Clark, Jake Knapp, Marco Pinge, and Matt Fitzpatrick. Eight guys, including Ludvig Åberg, are four shots back at 7 under. You have Scottie Scheffler at 6 under. So he's five shots behind. So they're moving up the final round. It's underway now because of dense fog in the area. There is a secondary PGA Tour event taking place, the ISCO Championship in Kentucky. You have 156 players started that event, including 50 players from the DP World Tour. And the third round yesterday had two suspensions due to weather during the day. And then players suspended last night at 9 due to darkness, with 12 players remaining who have to resume the third round this morning at 8 a.m. So you have Paul Peterson. He's 10 under through 15 holes. He leads Chan Kim by 1. Kim is 9 under through 12. Luke List finished his third round yesterday carding a 65. He's 7 under for the tournament. You have David Skins is 7 under through 15 holes. So a bunch of guys have to finish out their third rounds this morning. And right now, Paul Peterson is the guy to beat, but he'll resume. He's 10 under through 15 holes. He's 37 years old, a PGA Tour rookie, but he's won twice on the DP World Tour. All right, you have a women's major, the fourth of five majors going on, the Amundi Evian Championship. And after yesterday's round, very tight leaderboard, Minji Lee, three-time major champion, was only one behind with a couple other women, Kara Gaynor of England, Gabriella Ruffles of Australia. They were tied for the lead. And I'm looking at the scores right now because it's already in progress. And you have amateur Lottie Wold just off her KPMG Women's Irish Open victory last Sunday. She has a round going of 7 under through 13 holes. So she's the leader by 1. Wold, incredible. Right behind her is Gino Thitikal and Grace Kim and Minji Lee. They're all at 12 under in progress now through 10 holes. So amateur Lottie Wold, just off, as I said, she won the Women's Irish Open last week. And a top 25 finish for her would give her the last 2 points needed to get to 20 and earn LPGA membership. But can you imagine if she wins back-to-back tournaments? That'd be incredible. We talked about the American Century Celebrity Tournament last Sunday in Lake Tahoe with former Washington Redskins quarterback Joe Theismann. He's playing in his 35th American Century Championship, and I appreciate all the positive feedback I received from many of you about that interview on social media. On X, I'm at Ann Liguori, at Ann Liguori, and on Instagram, I'm at The Ann Liguori. But, you know, Joe's a great interview. He had a lot of great things to say. I have to look and see how he's doing, but another Joe Pavelski, the NHL star, and Taylor Twellman, soccer. He played for the New England Revolutions. They're tied for the lead with 44 points, and they play that Stableford format. And then you have Jake Owen, country music singer-songwriter. He's 3 points behind the co-leaders. Annika Sorenstam, she has 37 points. She's 1 point ahead of Tony Romo. And Mark Mulder and John Smoltz. So go, Annika. Marty Fish, the tennis star, he won it last year. He's tied for 9th with Stephon Curry. Curry won it in 2023. So it's always fun to watch these celebrities play golf. Many of them are really good golfers. Then you have Live Golf. They're in Spain. Taylor Gooch shot a second round 566 yesterday. He has a four-shot lead after 36 holes. Dustin Johnson, four shots back. And DJ's team, the Four Aces, leads the team competition. Then you have the U.S. Adaptive Open. I'm telling you, so much going on, right? Showcasing the world's top golfers with disabilities. And Kip Popert, 27 years old from England, he won the overall men's title for the third straight year. And Kip has a cerebral palsy. And in the women's, you have Kim Moore. She's 44 years old from Michigan. She won the overall title for the women. She becomes the first two-time female champion, and she was born without a right foot. She has a slight case of spina bifida. So I'm glad that the USGA puts on this U.S. Adaptive Open. Incredible. Then you have the PGA Tour champions. Brian, there's a lot going on in golf. Got to keep up with all of it, right? And Steve Allen at 12-under. He's one shot ahead of Abu Weekly. And two shots ahead of Jason Kerin. Obviously, you have the Open Championship coming up this week. I'm going to fly over to Ireland this week as well for it. And Ireland's own Shane Lowry won it when it was last at Royal Portrush in 2019. And you have Rory McIlroy admitting that, you know, there's more pressure on him since the Open is in his homeland. He said earlier this week that if venues in golf matter to you, it maybe puts a little bit more pressure on you. And Rory said, I would love to win an Open at Portrush. Absolutely. So it would be fun to see Rory McIlroy do well today at the Scottish Open and continue on at Royal Portrush this week at the Open Championship. All right, well, coming up in about 15 minutes or so, the great Alex Lifeson, Hall of Fame guitarist for the band Rush, Brian Kroll, the GM at Ballet Golf Links at Ferry Point, and a PGA Master Professional, huge Rush fan. He's going to join us after the 7:20 break. He appreciates the genius that is Alex Lifeson, like many of you Rush fans out there. And of course, we'll also talk about all the golf happening this weekend. But first, let me tell you that iBeCool Luxury Athleisure Wear for both men and women offers the highest performance-driven apparel to look and feel your best on and off the course. iBeCool offers multifunctional, intelligent moisture sensor fabrics featuring the exclusive IceFill technology that cools your skin up to 5 degrees so you can stay cool, comfortable, and odor-free on hot and humid days. Use promo code ANN20 for 20% off regularly priced items at www.ibkul.com. Hey, hey, hey. You got to get that Rush in there. I love it. Welcome back to Talking Golf and LaCoury. Yes, we're going to get to my conversation with the legendary Alex Lifeson in a few minutes. But first, the legendary Brian Kroll, GM at Ballet Golf Links at Ferry Point, PGA Master Professional, host of On Course with our buddy Frank Darby on Sirius PGA Tour Radio. Brian is a huge Rush fan. Hey, Brian, welcome to Talking Golf.
How you doing, Anne? Thank you so much for having me on. By the way, I've got to start by saying I'm not worthy. Am I actually opening up for Lifeson? This doesn't feel
you
right.
You are the warm-up band, my friend.
Incredible.
I know how much of a Rush fan you are. Tell us the origin of that. How did you become such a huge Rush fan?
Well, I literally, my wife and I just grew up with Rush. It was the perfect timing for me as a kid, and they were just the ultimate rock band. And I've got to tell you, there were tons of great bands to choose from as we were growing up, but Rush was something different. I mean, their albums told stories. They had such intricacy. They had time changes. I've been a musician myself my whole life, and I've always been in awe of the little things that Rush did, the extras, all the different layering that they provided in a song. It was always incredible, and their shows were the best. So yes, I am a true fan.
And they were just three humble Canadian guys that they really never changed. I mean, Alex just, to me, seems like the same person that he must have been when he, you know, was touring with Rush and, you know, the giant rock star. I mean, they're just the nicest people, right?
Oh my God. And for me, it was a dream. I still thank you so much, Anne, for inviting me to a party at your beautiful place where I happened to meet one of my childhood idols. Alex Lifeson was there, and you're right, just a down-to-earth guy, and the fact that he loves golf just gave me even more respect for this guy. I thought it was a dream, really was, to spend some time with Alex.
You know, we honored him, I mentioned earlier, at my charity golf event in the Hamptons a couple years ago, and, you know, he comes to the party with flowers in his hands and just, like, just such a normal kind of guy, right? And did you have a chance, you talked to him a little bit that night, right? What did you talk to him about?
Well, believe it or not, I asked him a little bit about golf and what he loved about the sport, and being in media to a certain degree myself, I said, you know, tell me about performance. And it's a lot like golf. We all feel like we can break the course record on the practice range, but then when we get out there in competition, it's something a little bit different. So I talked to Alex about preparation and all the work that goes in behind the scenes before they get on stage in front of 50,000 fans to blow us all away. And there are tons of similarities there. And I mean, I just give them a lot of respect. The level of preparation they go through to be able to get out there and rock us all to death is just awesome.
Yeah, and there are a lot of similarities that he can articulate between music and golf, and you'll hear about some of those in my conversation with Alex Lifeson coming up in a few minutes. But let's talk a little golf, Ryan, since I love talking golf with you as always. And you know, the Genesis Scottish Open is in progress. They moved up the tee times a little bit because of fog, I guess, in the area over there in Scotland. And it looks like Rory McIlroy has kind of rekindled that motivation, right?
Oh, geez, that's exciting. By the way, it's not lost on me, Anne, that we're going from Rush to Genesis. I mean, another band name. I had to say it. But yeah,
I love that.
Kind of exciting to see to McIlroy, and his game is obviously been incredible this year. His win at the Masters was one of the most incredible things I've ever attended. But yeah, it's nice to see him coming back into form in perfect time to prepare for the Open Championship. But I think he's the guy you got to bet on today at -11. Him along with Chris Goddard, a little New Jersey native there. That's kind of nice as well. But I think Rory's going to get it done today.
So as a PGA Master professional, so psychologically, do you, if you're Rory, do you go all out today and win? And if so, does that have any effect, positive or negative, for the Open Championship, obviously, which is at Royal Port Rush, which starts Thursday? I mean, can you win back-to-back? I mean, you can't really start thinking about all this right now. You got to just stay in the present, right? But this is how I think.
I know. Can you save enough emotion and energy to do it twice
exactly.
In a row?
And
the point is, yes. You know, I mean, look, McIlroy's he is a legend. He's going to go out there and give it his absolute all today. He wants to win that Scottish Open more than anybody. So he's going to put everything he's got into it. And look, they're trained to rebound and recover and get ready for the Open Championship. But I think he's going to win today, and I think that's just going to build momentum as he heads into the Open Championship. You're right. It takes a lot out of you, and you might want to ask Alex about that a little bit later. Can you do a great show and then somehow get it together and do another great show the night after? And he's going to say yes. The best, figure out a way to get it done.
You know, that's a great answer, Brian. And I was in Toronto initially to see the Coldplay concert, and that is such a physical show. It was so amazing. But to do it as often as they do it, how do you get up for that? I mean, it's just so physical, so draining. They're traveling all over the world. You have to be in such great shape, you know.
You really do.
But half of these rock stars, you know, back in the day, hopefully it's different now, they didn't really take care of themselves. You know, they overindulged a lot. And I just didn't, I don't know how they could do it physically day in and day out with not being 100%, you know, physically healthy.
Oh, I am blown away by the fact that Keith Richards is still alive. I can't figure it
exactly.
out. I really can't. You know, this is not like a Bernhard Langer who keeps himself in perfect
exactly.
condition and continues to win until he's 70 years old. I mean, these guys ruined themselves, but somehow they just keep ticking. And I would say to Alex, I think rock, some of these big concert bands, this is like the PGA Tour champions of music. They've been out there, they've done it, and now they're getting back together and going out and doing it again. I'm blown away by it. I really am.
One of the questions, and I recorded the conversation with Alex Lifeson when I was in Toronto, so one of the questions I did talk to him about was, you know, how to ask him, would he ever go on tour again? So that coming up again in a few minutes, he answers that question. But so who would you like to see heading back to the Open Championship, Royal Port Rush? Who would you like to see holding up the claret jug at the end of a week from today?
I think I'm about to give you an answer, and that a lot of people agree with me on. I want Tommy Fleetwood to win a major. I really do. And I think that would be really cool. He's played really great golf this year. Of course, he had that heartbreaker at the Travelers, losing to Captain Keegan Bradley, which, of course, is also looming here, the Ryder Cup. But I think the Open Championship might be the place where Tommy can finally get it done and hoist that claret jug. I'm pulling for the kid.
I mean, forget about a PGA Tour event. Just go right for the major championship.
Yep.
Right?
Let's get it done.
Now, I agree with you on that. I mean, Tom, he's such a nice guy, and he's so talented. He really needs to – I know he's won a ton in Europe, but he needs to win a major and a PGA Tour event for sure. You mentioned Keegan Bradley, and I know, you know, with Frank Darby, you guys talk a lot about this, but – what is your take on Keegan Bradley if he can continue his stellar play? Do you think he should be a playing captain, or should he just stick to being a captain only for the U.S. Ryder Cup team?
Well, I know Keegan Bradley enough to know that he is going to do what he thinks is the absolute best thing for Team USA, and that's a tricky call. It really is, because you don't want to diminish your captain abilities and effectiveness by locking in on a playing role. But at the same time, he's playing so well this year. I frankly think the decision has already been made in his mind. And what I'm guessing, Ann, is in the coming couple weeks here, he's going to get the six players that are locked in, and he's going to get a vote with them and the vice captains, and he's going to let them give the final green light. And I think he's going to play. I think he's going to play in a slightly more limited role, but I have a feeling he's going to get approval from the quote-unquote team. They're going to give him the nod, and he's going to accept, and it's going to be one of the most amazing Ryder Cups ever, and he's going to be a big part of it in both ways.
Wow, interesting. So he'd have his assistant captains kind of take over while he's playing in the sessions that he happens to play in, you think?
I think so. I think they're already preparing for that very likely possibility. And what, this would be the first time, I believe, since Arnold Palmer did it. And it would just further grow the legacy of Keegan Bradley. I mean, this is like a Hollywood movie we're watching unfold with him not being chosen a couple of years ago to being captain now. And I just see this as being an incredible moment of glory for Bradley, and I think he's going to be a player as well as captain.
Interesting. Keegan Bradley, I know your partner in crime over there, Frank Darby, would love to see that as well, right?
Yeah, big shout-out to Frank, and a big shout-out to Bally's Golf Links at Ferry Point, where I'll be a little bit later on this morning, but we're lucky to be involved in the media just like you are, and it's a treat, and to do it at Bally's is an extra special treat.
Yes. I mean, you juggle so many hats, Brian. Tell me about everything you're doing these days.
Well, you know, we do have a lot going on, but I think it's all about having a great team around you. I can't do any of this without my wife, Wendy. She is the best, and she's the CEO of the family and keeps things going. But I'm very excited to be the GM at Bally's Golf Links at Ferry Point, and I am on course here and there. I see you at the Masters and the PGA Championship every year because I'm working for CBS on those weeks. But Just trying to have as much fun as I can every day, and I love trying to get as much accomplished as I can. Golf gives us a great canvas to paint on, doesn't it?
Unbelievable. And you do everything. You juggle so much, and you do everything well. Former president of our Met Golf Writers Association board. You're obviously continue to be a board member. You were our fearless leader for many, many years. And Brian, you just do so many things so well. You know, continued success for sure.
Oh, thank you, Ann. And it's a thrill to be on the show with you. You're a pioneer and a legend. And for me to say I was on the same show with Alex Lifeson. Yeah, Alex and I were both on with Ann Liguori earlier this year.
Well, not only that. Cool. You are the warm-up band, so.
Yeah, by the way, we do have a band, and, you know, Phase 3 is out there playing. I play the bass, which is another reason I love Rush. The fact that Geddy Lee could play the bass and be the lead singer at the same time just blows my mind. That is an extra special talent, but Geddy and Neil and Alex, that was a huge part of my life in terms of music. So please give Alex my best.
I definitely will. When are you playing? When's your next gig?
July 29th in the Bronx. You're invited. And we'll be playing at Bally's Golf Links at Ferry Point.
We have to invite Alex to one of your concerts.
That I would pass out. I'm sure I would pass out.
Well, thanks so much, Brian. I really appreciate you coming on.
All right. Thanks, Ann.
All right. Have a good one. Oh, man. I love Brian. Coming up next, my conversation with the legendary Alex Lifeson, Hall of Fame guitarist of Rush, passionate golfer, and most recently, guitarist for a band called Envy of None. So we'll be back with that conversation with Alex Lifeson. But first, let me tell you that IB Cool Luxury Athleisure Wear for both men and women offers the highest performance-driven apparel to look and feel your best on and off the course. IB Cool offers multifunctional, intelligent moisture sensor fabrics featuring the exclusive IceFill technology that cools your skin up to 5 degrees so you can stay cool, comfortable, and odor-free on hot and humid days. Use promo code AN20 for 20% off regularly priced items at www.ibkul.com. Welcome back to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori. I am in Toronto and very excited to see Coldplay in concert, but even more exciting is having dinner with the legendary Alex Lifeson, Hall of Fame guitarist for the band Rush, and so many other things that we hopefully will talk about. Hey, Alex, welcome to Talking Golf.
Hi, Ann. It's great to see you again. It's been a couple of years, I think.
I know. It has been a couple of years. What have you been up to since we honored you at our charity golf event in the Hamptons a couple of years ago? Yeah. It's so great to reconnect with you.
I think when I saw you, we were just releasing an album for Envy of None, the first album, which went well. The experience was great. It was just a recording project for musicians getting together and making a record. It took us about a year to make that record, but it was a really satisfying experience working with, you know, different artists, particularly Maya Wynn, the singer, who was just absolutely amazing. We started the second record soon after the release of the first one, and we spent a little over a year working on that record too, which was released in March, and that's called Stygian Waves. That's the second record, and I think we really kind of developed into more of a band with that record. It wasn't so much just this project. There's just a unity in the material, the way the songs were developed. There's great variety. Each song is really quite different from the other, and I think the underlying connection is Maya's voice, which is absolutely spectacular, and her lyrics are wonderful. So for me, you know, coming at the end of the Rush experience in 2015, it was nice to get into something that I could really sink my teeth into and really do what I know how to do, rather than just sitting around trying to play golf, which I don't know how to do. I'm learning as I get older. But that was really, really a great experience doing that. I've been working on another project with a group of musicians for a documentary about the Great Lakes, and a very interesting kind of concept. And it was all jam based, and we had hours and hours and hours of material that we went through, and we've created some really beautiful sounding instrumental music on its way to, you know, becoming an album. Hopefully by the early fall, that'll be done, and we're looking at possibly doing a couple of dates as well. Just very, again, very spontaneous, improvisational kind of music, but it's just another dimension, you know. I feel like I've been reborn with all the music projects that I'm doing now, because it was really kind of quiet for me, and I was trying to find my way. And what am I going to do? Am I just going to be a part-time golfer for the rest of my years, or what? And this has thrust me right back into it, and I'm working on all these projects, and I'm playing a little less golf, and I don't know. I don't think that's such a bad thing. I mean, I'm still playing a couple times a week on average, so that's not too bad. But I could use a break. Golf's hard.
Golf is very, very hard, for sure. The last time you were on my show, Alex, on Talking Golf, Neil Peart had just passed. It was probably a couple months after that happened. And you were very sad, obviously. He was like a brother to you, and very open on the show, and said you just didn't have it in you to pick up the guitar.
Yeah, that's true. It's, you know, when Neil's daughter died in a car accident in 97, it was the same thing. You know, we shut it down, and I just had no interest in a lot of things, especially something like music, which is such a passionate, spiritual thing. When he passed 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago, it was the same thing. It really had no drive to play for about a year. And then I came out of it, and I find grieving, I've had so much experience at grieving now in my adult life that I kind of have it sort of figured out. For me, I commit to a year of grief, and then it's time to move on. And you can still pay tribute to the person that you've lost, the memory. It's fewer tears and more smiles, I think, what happens after a period. And certainly that's the way. You know, we're always looking at some sort of tribute to Neil in our daily lives, Getty and I both. We, you know, Getty and I get together a lot. You know, we're really, really close friends. And we have not lost an iota of love for our lost brother, and we celebrate him as much as we can.
It must have felt so good to get back in the studio and to play, as you say, for that envy of none, and even jamming with Getty.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, I mean, that's what I've grown up with. You know, Getty and I have been friends since we were 13. We started the band when we were 15 years old, and that's been our whole life work. Neil was kind of done, you know, at the end of the tour. It's understandable. His job was way harder than ours. He played at 110%, like every gig. And he got to a point in his early 60s where physically playing a 3-hour show at that intensity was becoming too difficult, and he would not accept 99.9%. It had to be 100 or 110 in his case. So that was understandable, but it was difficult for us, for Getty and I, to kind of accept that was it. We still had lots of gas in the tank, and I'm sure we talked about this way back then. But so we've always kind of lived with that for the last 10 years. So for me to get back into the studio, I just feel I'm where I belong, and it's a rebirth for me in a lot of ways. I just feel so excited with playing, and I'm playing a lot, and it feels good. My fingers feel good. I missed it. I missed that feeling. So I'm loving it.
Do you think you'll go out on tour at all? Do you think about it?
Oh, yeah. We think about all that stuff. But, you know, who knows? I've got my hands full with so many things right now. So I don't know about that in particular, but you know, you never know what where life is going to take you. That's what I've come to realize. Like, every day is a different day, and opportunities come and go, and you take some and you skip on some, and you just see whatever kind of fits, feels right at the time. So right now I got a whole bunch of right stuff, so I'm pretty happy with that.
And so how much golf can you play?
So, you know, I was typically playing 3 or 4 times a week. And, you know, a couple of years ago, I was usually 5, you know, when we had our place in the country, I was playing 5 days a week, easily 5 days a week. I'm playing probably on average, two or three days. I mean, this month is pretty filled up with golf. Last month, hardly any at all. And August is starting to fill up. So I'm sure I'll get to my, you know, 3-round, 4-round quota. But, you know, as we were talking many times, golf is such a very, very difficult sport. There's so many things that are counterintuitive about it, so much stuff to remember, so much of it is getting out of the way of it, and so much of it is you absolutely can't help yourself to get in the way of it. You know, I was saying to you, on the range, I'm easily a 2-3 handicap on the range. I can pick targets. I can hit to those targets. I don't have, you know, I'm 71. I don't have the same length that I had. But I get on the first tee, and I'm a basket case, like, over and over and over without fail. It's such an infuriating game.
Can you bring anything from music to golf?
Well, you know, the tempo is, I hear this from everybody I play with. Oh, you're a musician. You know everything about tempo. Why don't you have great tempo? And I think about that all the time, and I'm not quite sure what great tempo is. I get the concept of what it is, and often, you know, my swing, I'm told, you have beautiful tempo. It's nice and smooth and easy. I'm swinging as hard as I can, like... I'm not even thinking about tempo, but I understand it. And if you want to get your hips to move, if you want to get your shoulders to turn, you have to have the right tempo. If it's too fast, things are out of sequence. The hands are too quick. Casting, major problem for me. But I don't know where that spot is between too slow and smooth. You know, the difference between fast and hard. Because you want to hit the golf ball hard, but you don't want to be too fast. And it is an unbelievable game.
It keeps you out there, right? The challenge keeps you going.
I know. And that's the other thing. How many times you come down 18 and you have the best hole of the round on 18? Because they know. They want to get you back out on the golf course soon.
Favorite golf memory, what would you say?
Geez, I've had so many, you know. I've played with Rocco Mediate so many times. I had him up to Coppenwood, the club that I was a member at. He was there for 4 of our member guests, and it was just awesome. He's such a personable guy. Everybody absolutely adored him, and he made himself available to everybody like he always does. He's a remarkable guy. I've had some great rounds with Lee Jansen and Mark Calcavecchia. I heard from Mark the other day. We stay in touch. We keep threatening to get together sometime soon, and I would like to do that. So, like, you know, I have those memories from that other generation of golfers. You know, I had Dave Hempstead. He's a local comedian here. I brought him down to your tournament a couple of years ago, and I played with Dave a lot. And he's a really good golfer. You've seen him play, and but he's also so funny. So I don't know. Some holes I'm crying so hard from laughing that I can't even swing the club. So I you know what? Every game is a memorable game except for the ones that aren't. You know what I mean?
I love that quote. Can we use that one?
Sure.
Well, I know you golf in Ireland and probably Scotland. And do you like Lynx golf?
Yeah, I love it, especially over there where it's the true Lynx. You know, you have that experience here and there on this side of the ocean. Some courses that make themselves like that and some that are naturally like that. But over there, there's a plethora of those sort of linksy choruses, and they all have very individual characters. We were talking about the Island Chorus just outside of Dublin. Wow, is that, that is truly links, like right to the core. And it's just such a visually enchanting setting to be playing in Royal County Down. We played there on a very gray, misty day, and it was magical. Honestly, magical. There was fog in the up on the mountain, and the green, and the course was so green and purple, and the heather, and it was just stunning. And that's what golf provides for you, just this incredible environment to chase that little ball around. Yeah.
It really does. The scenic beauty of the golf courses, one's more beautiful than the next. Now, you and I met a number of years ago at Robbie Krieger's celebrity tournament. So I'm going to ask you if you could put together a foursome of, say, some of your closest musician friends, who would it be?
Oh, okay. So I have to think about that one. I played with Alice a lot, and Alice is great. He's a great golf partner. He's a very fascinating guy. He has great stories. And he's quite talented as a golfer. You know how important golf is to him, to his whole life. I'd probably get Alice in there. And Robbie's a king. I love Robbie so much. He's we've become really, really good friends. I never expected that to happen. You know, you meet people and you have a nice time together and you sort of move on. But we've stayed in touch. I go out and I play at his events whenever I can. It's, you know, always for a good cause, for St. Jude's, among other things. And then we jam, and he gets me to jam with other people. He took me out the last time I was there. We went out a couple of nights, just on off nights, and he took me to clubs where people were playing, and we got up on stage and jammed with them. I mean, I don't really do stuff like that so much, but he kind of forced me into doing it, and I loved it. And we play together, and I'm looking at him. I grew up with the Doors, so I'm looking at the guitar player of the Doors, and I'm like, this is awesome, standing beside the guitar player of the Doors. We're playing guitar together. So that's a magical thing. So he would definitely be the third. And then the fourth, it would be the fourth, Tom Cochran. Tom Cochran is a Canadian artist. Life is a Highway. It was his big, well, one of his big hits, but probably the biggest one that your audience would recognize. Tom and I play a lot. We do a trip to Arizona every February. We play Whisper Rock and Estancia and Silver Leaf. We're there for a week together. We get together here locally and play a little bit over the summer. But he's a great golfer and also a great storyteller. So that would be a really awesome foursome.
That would be a fabulous foursome. Can I tag along? Can I caddy?
Of course.
Now, you're a golfer in addition to, obviously, one of the top guitarists in the world, a producer, a pilot, a painter. How would you rank these activities, would you say, in terms of passion?
Well, I think I'm passionate about all of them when I do them. I was doing paintings annually for the Kidney Foundation here in Canada. And they had a program where they got celebrities to do paintings. And it started out as a very basic thing. They send you a small little, not a canvas, really a board, and a little platelet of color paints, of acrylic paints. And, you know, a couple of brushes. So the first year I did that, and I thought, screw this. I went out and I spent thousands of dollars buying paints, and I got every shade of every color. I got the best brush. Like, I really did a number. I got proper canvases, and I started taking it much more seriously. Every time I do it, and I spend, you know, 4 to 6 weeks on a piece, every time I do it, I just feel so gratified that I did it. And I don't know why I don't do it more regularly. Like, life gets in the way of some things, and painting for me is one of the things. I would do a lot more of it, and I hope to eventually. Flying, I don't do very much flying anymore. I always believe that you have to be proficient in flying. You can't just be a fair weather flyer if you're going to be serious about it. It's very easy to kill yourself in an airplane. So I was gung-ho for probably the first few decades after I got my license in 1980. And I flew, and I on the road. I used to take crew guys flying. But because I traveled so much, I never bothered getting an airplane. So I didn't make that commitment in that way. So I enjoyed the whole flying experience, the whole pilot experience. But I guess I'm just not quite so passionate about that anymore.
So guitarist, golfer, painting, would that be the order?
I would say so, yeah, yeah.
See, I know you, Alex Lifeson. All right, so talk about getting into the ale business. I love those social media spots I'm seeing. There's one that's a non-alcoholic beer that you and Getty did this little spot on. It's called Your Turn to Drive. That was hysterical.
So the brewery is Henderson Brewery. They're here in Toronto. They're a boutique brewery, and they make a lot of products, and they're all really good. The quality is so excellent, and they're wonderful to work with. A few years ago, it was during COVID, there was the thought about maybe having our own beer, and so we got together. Get and I sampled about 25 beers, I think, porters, ales, lagers, the whole gamut, and we settled on three, and of those three, the final one was the Canadian ale. It's delicious. It's done really, really well. But the fun thing is we decided to do these ads for our beer products, and they're like off the cuff. We don't rehearse them. We don't write them out. We just do a bunch of scenes, and we goof around and joke around, and they've become so popular. I mean, it's like a new age in advertising that we've sort of latched onto. But the one that we did recently for the non-alcoholic beer is a particularly funny one. Yeah, they're all really, really kind of funny and fun.
And they're just off the cuff, right? You just make it up as you go.
Yeah, we pick a date. We go to the brewery and, there's a couple of cameras and some lights. And what are we doing? Okay, this is for this. Okay, let's do that. And then we just throw out a bunch of ideas, and there's a little bit of editing involved. But they're really a lot of fun to do.
And you have a mustard, too, the Rush Golden Ale Mustard.
Oh, yeah, the mustard. The mustard is fantastic. It's made with our beer. It's really, really delicious.
I can't wait to try that, too. I'm seeing all this stuff you've done. Okay, final two questions. Of all the songs you wrote or co-wrote, Alex, I know it's like picking your favorite kid, which is impossible. What one would you say is most meaningful to you?
It is like picking a child, but I would say if I had to pick one song, it would be the last song on the last record, which was The Garden, and it's a very poignant song. I think that song really meant a lot to Neil, and it was ironic that, he became ill, and a lot of the things that he touched on in The Garden were very connected to his illness and his death. So that one always sticks with both of us deep down.
I mean, Working Man, Anthem, In the Mood, The Spirit of Radio, there's just so many.
Yeah, there's lots of them.
What is out there that you yet have to do? That anything in your mind that you just haven't tried yet that you just have to do?
I don't know if I feel like I'm lacking anything in my life. I have a fantastic family. My grandkids are grown up now, and you know, one's in college and the other one's got his own business. And I just celebrated my 50th anniversary a few months ago. You know, I'm playing guitar for 3 hours a day. There's a good balance in my life. I don't feel like I'm missing anything. I think my bucket's pretty empty, I have to admit. And it's a good feeling because I feel energized and I feel like there's so much ahead of me. And some of it is the same old stuff and some of it's a little different. But it's the activity that counts. It's the propulsion, the movement forward that life is all about.
Any holes in ones?
I have one hole in one. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Then you've done it all.
I have done it all.
Alex Lifeson, thank you so much. What a pleasure to reconnect. Really enjoyed our time together. Yeah.